I think we have time for a few questions, if there are any questions.
The bank tell us that they paid back the bailouts, so I don't understand the, you say it's
first
almost
of
all of their money is...
I suppose I lend you $100, and a couple of years later, you pay me back $100.
Oh, yeah.
Who lost?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But furthermore, the bailouts are a very small part of the public subsidy. When the business press uses IMF figures to estimate $83 billion a year of subsidy, they're not talking about the bailouts. They're talking about other things that... some of which I mentioned, like cheap credit, access to cheap credit, higher credit ratings, inflated credit ratings, which give you all kind of options, because the credit agencies understand that there's a government insurance policy. These guys are going to be bailed out if they get into trouble, so we can give them higher credit ratings. It also means many other things. If you're, say, Goldman Sachs, you can make a risky transaction. But risky transactions tend to make high profits, but they also carry the possibility of failure. But you don't have to worry about it, right? Because you guys are going to pay them if they get into trouble. That's a government insurance policy. If you had an insurance policy like that, you could do all sorts of things. but you do give the banks that insurance policy. As I said, the IMF figures lead to an estimate of $83 billion a year. You could argue the details, but something on that order. And they say that's essentially all the profits of the big banks. And that has enormous consequences. Like, one of the consequences is what's called a systemic risk. There's a risk. If Goldman Sachs makes a risky transaction and it happens to fail, it might bring down the whole system. We saw that a couple of years ago when Lehman went. It looked like the whole thing was going to collapse. Well, there's a protection against systemic risk, namely you. You pay for it and guarantee it's not going to happen. And that just increases risky behavior and the likelihood of crashes, like what we're now seeing. Now, these are all pretty serious problems. They're not at the level of climate catastrophe and nuclear war. Those are kind of colossal dangers. But these are pretty serious dangers. The public really suffered from the latest financial collapse, the financial housing bubble and collapse. A lot of people are still suffering from it. Actually, there was congressional legislation. Speaking of bailouts, the bailouts came from congressional legislation. But that congressional legislation had two parts to it. One was bail out the criminals. The other was help the people who were their victims, protect them from foreclosures and so on. Which part of the bargain was kept? Well, it's not a secret. The Inspector General of the Justice Department, Neil Barofsky, was screaming about it. I wrote a book about it, but that's really existing capitalist democracy. That's the way it works. That's its logic. So, yeah, they sort of paid back kind of the actual bailout, but that's a joke. And, in fact, what's happening now is just mind-boggling. The world's biggest insurance company, AIG, was on the verge of collapse, and Geithner, the government essentially bought it and bailed it out. Now it's richer than ever. I wasn't just going to knock out AIG, so Goldman Sachs, for example, was heavily involved in risky loans guaranteed by AIG. If AIG went down, Goldman Sachs would go down, and so on across the board. But you guys stepped in and saved it all. Right after that, after it was rescued from having virtually brought down the international economy, AIG gave expanded bonuses to its chief executives. Now, that caused a little bit of controversy. You know, how come these guys practically destroy the economy and we pay them off, they decide to give themselves bonuses. Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury, Obama's, you know, one of his chief advisors, responded to that saying, well, we just don't have any choice. It's a contractual obligation, and we believe in contractual obligations, so we're just forced to accept it. At the very same time, the state of Illinois was refusing to pay pensions to public service workers because they said they didn't have enough money. Was that a contractual obligation? Not only that, I mean, the workers had already paid for it. When you have a pension, it's because you take lower wages. That's a bargain that's made. But that contractual obligation, which workers already paid for, that one didn't have to be on it. And we're back to the logic of RECT again. AIG executives, yeah, of course, they have to get a huge bonus after practically destroying us. Teachers, firemen, and so on, they don't deserve that kind of thing. That's their, what George Orwell once called unpeople, as distinct from people. So they, no contractual obligations there. That's our commitment to capitalist principles. What's happening now is beyond grotesque. The former CEO of AIG, Maurice Greenberger, is now, he's the principal in a court suit, Star International versus U.S. government. It's going to the Supreme Court right now. He's complaining that the bonuses weren't, that the payout to AIG wasn't big enough. And he wants to be reimbursed for costs to AIG. No, that's, you know, if anybody asks you for the definition of chutzpah, you can mention it. That's in the Supreme Court right now. And, you know, given the nature of the court, it's not so easy to figure out how it'll turn out, even though, I mean, this is like beyond insanity, except under the logic of really existing capitalist democracy. And that's the story of the bailouts.